السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والذين يقولون ربنا اصرف عنا عذاب جهنم إن عذابها كان غراما إنها ساءت مستقرا ومقاما. والذين إذا أنفقوا لم يسرفوا ولم يقتروا وكان بين ذلك قواما. والذين لا يدعون مع الله إلها آخر فلا يقتلون ولا يقتلون النفس التي حرم الله إلا بالحق ولا يزنون ومن يفعل ذلك يلقى أثاما. يضاعف له العذاب يوم القيامة ويخلد فيه مهانا. صدق الله العظيم. علماء کرام، respected brothers and sisters at the madrasa, those listening over receivers, I do understand that it was a very short notice, but there was a change in my schedule, so therefore we decided to have a program. A number of people were telephoning and inquiring from the morning. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala make it for His pleasure and give us all the tawfiq of amal. We have been discussing Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's rahmat, Allah ta'ala's mercy, Allah ta'ala's forgiveness in some of the programs over the past few weeks. We had just touched on the topic of the shahadat of Sayyidina Hamza radiallahu ta'ala an, and that it was Wahshi who had martyred Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala an. Now, discussing the rahmat and mercy of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, this incident in the life of Hazrat Wahshi, the one who martyred Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's uncle, and not only that, but his uncle's chest was sliced open, the heart was removed, the liver was removed, his ears were cut off, his nose was cut off. Even that mountain of patience, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, when he looked at the body of his uncle, tears rolled down his cheeks. He said, Allah Ta'ala's mercy be upon you. What I know is that you had been a very generous person, and that you had already, or you had always maintained family ties. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is addressing his uncle. If it had not been for my aunt Safiya, so then I would have left your body as is, so that the birds, the creatures, the animals, they may eat of your flesh. And then on the day of Qiyamah, you rise from their bodies. In other words, to show that great sacrifice that was made by you. And he was given the title Sayyidu Shuhada. I mentioned with regards to this incident in one of my Jummah Bayans, I think, that this is a very clear sign that what we see with our eyes is not necessarily what is happening to the person who has passed away. Many a times we run to conclusions just because we see the person's brains were smashed, his body was crushed, his skull had cracked, and the person sometimes is burnt to such an extent that you cannot even give any kind of ghusl to the body. Sometimes the person is eaten up by a fish in the sea. whatever we may be seeing from the outside, it is not necessary that that is what is happening to the person. If the person is a believer and he attained what we term as shahadat or martyrdom because of those accidents or because of those murders and killings or because of some other reasons, the wall collapsed, the person drowned in the ocean, the person got crushed beneath the building when the building collapsed. Now all these type of things, now we will see some terrible condition of the person who passed away. But in the eye of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, that person, if he is a shaheed, then he has got a very high status. So here we see Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala, and that this is his outward condition. Look at the others, those that were martyred also. But look at the title Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam gave to him, Sayyidu Shuhada, Hamza. But we are talking about the mercy of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. On the one hand, look at the grief, look at the sorrow, look at the tears of the greatest after Allah that flowed when he saw the condition of the body of Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala. Now that is what we term as a balance. That on the one hand, there was that sabr, that it was Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's decision and Allah ta'ala wanted to bless him with the highest stage of shahadat. And on the other hand, the right of the uncle, that in that condition Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is grieved and tears roll down his cheeks. That is a Muslim, that he balances the rights of everyone. So Hazrat Wahshi afterwards, he became Hazrat, he became Sayyidina Wahshi radiyallahu ta'ala an. But until he had not accepted Islam and he was on the side of the kuffar of Makkah Mukarramah, and he was the one who martyred Hazrat Hamza radiyallahu ta'ala an. So then there was no question of anybody even believing that he will one day become a recipient of the ni'mat of Iman and Islam. And not only that, but he will become radiyallahu anhum wa radu an, as Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala declared them. And his status will go so high, that all the awliya of the world put together will not be able to reach the status of just the lowest sahabi. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam now is sending him a message to accept Islam. Now his time for hidayat had come. And this is what we were discussing of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's power of jazb. That some people, they first have to make a lot of effort. And then they are pulled towards Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. They are salik first and majzub after that. And some people, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala pulls them. And then the person is activated, as we say. The battery is activated. Now this person starts doing all the good deeds. So here Hazrat Wahshi radiallahu ta'ala, without going into the details, he was the one that killed Musaylama, whom Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam called Al-Kazzab, the great liar. Because Musaylama was the one who claimed to be a prophet. In the time of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he is claiming prophethood. And he is saying that prophethood is shared between us. And with regards to the land of Arabia, or Muslim land, there too he say half for us and half for you. There's a lengthy story about how he was killed and how the jihad was waged against these people who were the followers of Musaylama, the false prophet. In his letter also that he writes to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, we can see that there is nothing but lies there. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam replied to that letter of his. And that is the letter in which Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, Min Muhammad Rasulillah, sallallahu alayhi wasallam ila Musaylima al-Kazzab. So Hazrat Wahshi radiyallahu ta'ala an, who was responsible for the martyrdom of Hazrat Hamza radiyallahu ta'ala an, he was the one who killed Musaylima. So he said, when I was in a state of kufr, then at that time I killed the best of person, Hazrat Hamza radiyallahu ta'ala. And now in a state of iman, I killed the worst of person, Musaylima. My Shaykh Hazrat Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Damat Barakatum, he says there is a lesson in here that everybody knew that it was Hazrat Hamza radiyallahu ta'ala who martyred Hazrat Hamza radiyallahu ta'ala. It was Hazrat Wahshi who martyred Hazrat Hamza radiyallahu ta'ala. So what happens that even if the period of time goes by, but still in the minds of the people it is there that he is the one, he is the one. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala then makes the person do something that people forget what he did in the past. And now they start talking about his good deeds. It happens in the life of every person who makes a genuine change in his life. Provided the person makes a genuine change in his life, is sincere about the change. It is not just superficial and it is not just artificial. If the person makes sincere tawbah, then even if that person was at one time a womanizer, he was at one time a drug addict, he was at some time in his life a person that was in the discos and cinemas and theatres and other kind of haram, but when he makes a genuine change in it, then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will make that person do such deeds, or that person in his lifetime will then do such kind of deeds and actions that people will then talk about those good deeds that he is now engaged in, and they will forget about his past. With all those who bring about a genuine change. And we have seen this in the lives of so many young people. So many people. That they had a very, very bad life. We say a very rough life and a very tough life. They were going through all the discos and cinemas and anything you can think of. But when they made a genuine change, deep-hearted tawbah and regret and remorse they expressed, they shed tears before Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala of regret, that, oh Allah, I wasted my life. Where was I? You blessed me with so much of your ni'mats and bounties. And where was I wasting all those ni'mats and bounties? My youth, where did I spend it? My wealth, where I was spending it? My health, where I was spending it? Although I had knowledge, but which places I was frequenting. So now this person expressed great remorse and regret. And if it was rights of others, he started fulfilling. If it was qazas, he started making. So then we will notice that in his life, sooner or later, in a year, two years, 10 years, 5 years, depending on how much of sincerity he's got and how much of good deeds he does after that, then people will forget. In fact, they will make that person now an example for others. They will say, why must you lose hope? Look at this young person here. How much he went through. What he did. What kind of a past he had. But look at the changes that came in his life. And now he is a waliullah. Now he is an arif billah. Now this person is a qari, or this person is a hafiz, or is a haji of a caliber, or is a da'i ilallah. Oh, he is so charitable and so honest and so truthful and so pious and so righteous. And now look at his tawazu and humility. Look at his taqwa and taharat. Look at his sabr and shukr. Look at his zuhad and qanaat. His gratitude to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. His humility, tawazu. Now the people will start talking about those good deeds. And they will forget what he did in the past. So much so that even those people with whom this person was associated in the past, in those evil deeds and actions, either he will be able to pull them from those dens and put them on the same track of piety and righteousness, or they will distance themselves from him and he will distance himself from them. They too will say, what has happened to you? Why are you no more with us? What kind of a lifestyle you have chosen, a life of boredom, a life in which there is no happiness, a life in which there looks like there is nothing but doom and gloom. They will tell him that. And he will tell them that, what do you know what I am enjoying now? When I was with you, there was nothing but restlessness. I did not even realize what kind of a trench I had fallen into. It was only after I came out from that, now I realize how beautiful my Allah is. What kind of sukoon He has given me in my life. What kind of noor He has given me in my amal. And what kind of happiness He has given me now in my home. And what kind of barakat He has given me now in my business. And what kind of happiness He is giving me with my family. And what kind of respect He is giving me in society. All that He will only realize after that. So He will tell to them that you also come in this way. Why are you remaining far away from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's rahmat and mercy? Allah ta'ala's doors of forgiveness are wide open. Don't delay. So Hazrat Wahshi radiyallahu ta'ala, and we were talking about. The Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam sends him the paigham and the message that he must accept Islam. Now who he is sending the message to? The one who martyred his uncle. Now look at Hazrat Wahshi radiyallahu ta'ala. Now he also, instead of just accepting Islam, how honest they were. How frank and open they were. There was no question of any kind of hypocrisy in them. The Sahaba of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, there was no hypocrisy. The Munafiqeen, they were pretending to be Sahaba. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam on one occasion took them out from the masjid also. Ukhruj ya fulan, come out so and so. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala had informed him that because they were all the time with the Muslims, shoulder to shoulder in the masjid and reading loud Durud Sharif also and doing everything that the Muslims do, but with great pretense. Their namazes also, there was no ikhlas and no sincerity. Where can there be sincerity when there was no iman in their hearts? So therefore, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam did not order that they should be executed, because people would say that, look at Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, that he is having his own people removed and executed. So they were given the same privileges. But in the eye of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, there was no iman. But a sahabi of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, a companion of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, a true sahabi, there was no question of any kind of nifaq and hypocrisy in the person's life. There was nothing but truthfulness and honesty. There was no pretense that we have dual lives. One life within the home, or in the darkness, or in the hotel rooms, or where nobody else is watching. The person thinks nobody is watching, whereas Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is watching there. And He can seize the person's sight, He can take the person's ni'mats and bounties away. Jo karta hai to chupke ahle jahan se, koi dekhta hai tujhe aasama se. How many times you've heard that? So there's a different life for the public and a different life within our homes and in privacy. Now that was not the condition of the Sahaba ikram radiyallahu anhum ajma'in. Whatever they were outside, they were inside. They were always conscious of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's presence. They felt the ma'iyat and the closeness of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in their lives. The karamat of the Sahaba ikram radiyallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in, how many they are. How did they attain that? So Hazrat Wahshi radiyallahu ta'ala, now when he is told must accept Islam, he says, how can I accept Islam? And that is why I recited these ayat and these verses. So he said, how can I accept Islam? Because in the Quran Sharif, which is revealed upon you, I'm just explaining, Allah says, وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَدْعُونَ مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَهًا آخَرٌ وَلَا يَقْتُلُونَ النَّفْسَ الَّتِي حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ وَلَا يَزْنُونَ وَمَنْ يَفْعَلْ ذَلِكَ يَلْقَ أَثَامًا. يضاعف له العذاب يوم القيامة ويخلد فيه مهانا. Although he was in a state of kufr, he hasn't accepted Islam as yet. But look at his knowledge of the Quran Sharif, the ayat that were being revealed upon Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam. They were inquiring, they were finding out what has been revealed upon Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam. They knew fully well that whatever was revealed was from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and that he was the Nabi of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. But some of them, because of their pride, they were not prepared to accept. Some of them, because of their jealousy, they were not prepared to accept. And some of them, because of their positions that they held in society, somebody was the chief of this tribe and somebody was the chief of that tribe, so they did not want to let go that kingship of theirs, as we see, notice in our world today. Nobody wants to let go that chair, that position. Otherwise, they knew deep down in their hearts, they knew very well that he is the Nabi of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So he says, how can I accept Islam? You are inviting me towards Islam, but how can I accept? Because the Quran Sharif says, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, with regards to the Ibadur Rahman, the slaves of the Most Merciful, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. The different sifat and the different qualities and attributes and characteristics that have been mentioned in the different ayat of this surah. Now amongst them is this ayat, وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَدْعُونَ مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَٰهًا آخَرٍ, that they invoke no one together with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. They don't invoke anyone together with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala as an ilah. In other words, they don't associate any other Allah with Allah. They don't call out to any other Allah besides Allah. They do not invoke anyone together with Allah. They believe in the oneness, in monotheism. They believe in tawheed, and tawheed also kamil, that it is only one and one only Allah, who is the creator of the heavens and the earth, the universe, the sun, the moon, the stars. There is only one Allah and no one else. There is no question of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala being unable to do all things, cause people to be born, cause people to die, and give life and give health and give wealth, and bless with home, and bless with wife, and bless with children, and all those things. They say, how can one Allah do so many things? Therefore, people went astray, and they start saying, there's one Allah of health, and one Allah of wealth, and one Allah of life, and one Allah of death. So, Wahshi radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, the Quran says, وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَدْعُونَ مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَٰهًا آخَرٍ, whereas that is what I have done. I've invoked others, I've called upon others besides Allah. I believed in others besides Allah as Allah. So I've done that also. Then again, the Quran Sharif says, وَلَا يَقْتُلُونَ النَّفْسَ الَّتِي حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ, which in effect, in essence, means that they do not kill that soul which Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has prohibited. They do not take the life of any person which Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has prohibited the taking of, illa bil haq, except for just cause. If the person has to take the life of someone, then they do that. But otherwise, they don't take the life of anyone. And he says, I've done that also. And he hasn't taken the life of just any ordinary person. He has taken the life of Sayyidina Hamza radiallahu ta'ala an, the beloved uncle of Nabiya Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he says, in the ayat it is mentioned about shirk, so I have committed shirk also, that I have invoked others besides Allah Ta'ala. I have also killed without a just cause, taken the life of not only Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala, but we don't know how many others he must have taken the life of. وَلَا يَزْنُونَ, and they do not commit fornication. Fornication, adultery, they don't commit. He says, even that I have committed. So look at his state. He says, honestly and truthfully, he says, he's sending the message to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam through an emissary, that I have done all three things. So how can I then accept Islam? what is going to happen to me, because Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says that وَمَنْ يَفْعَلْ ذَٰلِكَ يَلْقَى أَثَامًا, that whosoever has done that, then punishment will definitely reach that person. That person will receive his punishment, and not only receive punishment, but يُضَاعَفْ لَهُ الْعَذَابُ يَوْمَ الْقَيَامَةِ وَيَخْلُدْ فِيهِ مُهَانًا. The punishment will be doubled on the day of Qiyamah. On the day of Qiyamah, their punishment will be doubled, those who have done all these type of things. So now I have done all that. I have invoked others with Allah. I have committed fornication. I have killed without just cause. And so my azab will be doubled on the day of Qiyamah. So then what is the purpose of accepting Islam? What is the purpose of becoming a believer when that is going to be my state? But his time, as I said, had come for his ayat. Power of jazb of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So ayat of the Quran Sharif are now revealed. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he receives ayat and verses from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Illa man taba wa amana wa amila amalan saliha فَأُولَٰئِكَ يُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ حَسَنَاتٍ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا. إِلَّا مَنْ تَابَ. Don't worry whatever state you are in. إِلَّا مَنْ تَابَ. If you make tawbah. إِلَّا مَنْ تَابَ. وَآمَن. And you bring iman. You believe in Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. That means you make tawbah from your kufr, from your shirk. The person makes tawbah from his disbelief. The person makes tawbah from his sins, whatever it may be. And now he believes in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Now he's believing in the oneness of Allah ta'ala. Now he's not invoking anybody besides Allah ta'ala. Now he's not committing any kind of adultery or fornication after accepting Islam. He has made sincere tawbah. إِلَّا مَنْ تَابَ وَآمَنَ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا. So this person, he may have committed kufr, he may have, in the state of kufr, killed people also. And in the state of kufr, he could have committed adultery and fornication. But now after accepting Islam, إِلَّا مَنْ تَابَ وَآمَنَ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا. So this person had made sincere tawbah now from his kufr and shirk, he has accepted Islam. And then after that he does righteous deeds. فَأُولَٰئِكَ يُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ حَسَنَاتِ. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, for those people, he will change their bad deeds to hasanat, good deeds. What a ni'mat and what a bounty for them, that all the sins are forgiven, the kufr is forgiven, shirk is forgiven. With his acceptance of Islam, now all his zina is forgiven. All his other crimes are forgiven. It's only the debts that he has to pay. But otherwise, all those sins are forgiven. Illa man taab. What kind of hope Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives? And who is being given this hope? Hazrat Wahshi. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is sending somebody to go and convey this message to him. That this is what Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is saying. And this is in Tafsir Khazin, Mullah Ali Qari also in Mirqat, the Sharah of Mishkat Sharif, and in Mu'alimu Tanzil also, different kitabs, it is narrated. So, illa man taba wa amana wa amila amalan salihan فَأُولَٰئِكَ يُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ حَسَنَاتٍ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا. Allah Ta'ala is most forgiving. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا. Not only غَافِر is غَفُور. Very, very forgiving Allah. Your kufr and your shirk and whatever it may be, like the ocean. But all the filth that goes into the ocean does not make the ocean napak. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has given man the knowledge of making a piece of stick the dynamite, and look at the huge mountains that it blows up. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is ghafoor. He's very, very forgiving. Why? Because he's very merciful. He's so merciful, so merciful, so merciful. Why are you losing hope in the mercy of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala? But what he wants is sincere tawbah from the sins. So ghafoor ar-rahima. So now when this message reached him, then he said, yes, that's all very good that you make tawbah, bring iman, and do amal salih. But this amal salih, the condition is that the person must now do it until his dying day, that he must stay steadfast on the amal salih. So he said, now this amal salih on which we have to stay steadfast until the dying day, this is a very difficult condition. He's very honest and he said, this is a difficult condition. Because I don't say that I will be able to be steadfast. As a human being, a person can make mistakes, he may commit an error, he may still do something that is displeasing to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala as a human being. Not that now the person is purposely, deliberately just going on and on, unconcerned that my Allah is watching. But as a human being, still, even if he is conscious, but he can make a mistake. The person is driving very wide awake and alert, and he does not want to make an accident. He is not fiddling around with his cell phone while driving, purposely. Or the person is not looking here and there, or is not casting his glances on the women folk that are standing on the pavement while he is driving. He is conscious that he is on the road and he must be alert and he must not make any accident. But still, he can doze off. There can be an accident still. Something can happen. So this person, although he does not want to now, but he can still make some mistake or some error. So now he is given the assurance. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala now reveals the ayat. قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَتُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Look at the assurance, look at the kind of tasalli, or look at the kind of consolation that he is now being given, that if you made some mistake like that, then don't lose hope. لَا تَقْنَتُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ. Those who have transgressed, and look at the beautiful way in which Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala addresses. Say to them, يَا عِبَادِي, O my servants, you are mine, you are not anybody else's. I have created you. I love my creation. Nobody likes to see his invention destroyed. When the father or the mother says to a particular child, you are my child. Out of the half a dozen children, he picks up one child and says, you are my child. It doesn't mean the other children are not his children. But that is to show extreme love for that child. That you are my child. You are my beloved student. So does it mean the others are not students? But this student is beloved because of the good marks or the hard work and the dedication and the enthusiasm and the zeal to get knowledge. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, like that he says, Ya ibadi, qul ya ibadi alladhina asrafu. And whom is Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala calling my slaves? He's calling those who are the most sinful ones like us. Because Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, when he was asked, it was this ayat only for Hazrat Washi radiallahu ta'ala an, or for Ammatul Muslimin? So he said, it's for everybody, all the Muslims also. Although it was originally revealed for them. But it's for everybody till the day of Qiyamah. The believers also, those who will make mistakes, who will make some kind of error, or they will get caught up in some kind of web or some kind of net, whatever it may be. But Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is saying, Ibadi, you are my slaves, my servants. Say to my servants, who are you to tell to my servants that Allah Ta'ala will not forgive you? Say to them, Ya Ibadi alladhina asrafu ala anfusihim, those who have transgressed upon their own souls. The clear message is there that that transgression is upon the person's own soul. He is not harming Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala in any way. Because if he is going to continue in that style of life, then he is going to harm himself. Sometime the marriage will break down. Sometime the children will start hating him. Sometimes his government within the home will be toppled. When a person does injustice from the government level, then the government gets toppled. And when we do injustice within our homes, then the government within our homes get toppled. Then the wives do not respect those husbands anymore. And those children who are supposed to respect those parents, sometimes they boot the parents. And sometimes they swear the parents. So transgression is upon our own souls. We are harming ourselves. Look at what is happening around in the homes, in the society. Parents are complaining, children don't want to respect us anymore. So what did we do? Did we respect Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's laws and ahkam? So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala topples our government too. قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَتُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. Tell them, لَا تَقْنَتُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. Those who have transgressed, now tell them, don't despair of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's mercy. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will forgive all sins. Allah forgives all sins. Innahu huwa al-ghafoorur rahim. Again, is ghafoor and is rahim. But before that, there was one ayat that had come. Inna Allah la yaghfiru an yushraka bihi wa yaghfiru ma duna dhalika liman yasha. That when he said, I committed shirk, I did this, I did that, now this ayat was revealed in which he was given this kind of assurance, and to all the other kuffar, mushrikeen, whoever they may be, that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will, besides shirk, he does not forgive shirk, association of partners with Allah Ta'ala in his sifat and attributes, that he doesn't forgive. Worship is for Allah Ta'ala alone. Inna Allah la yaghfiru an yushraka bihi. وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَٰلِكَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ. Other than that, for whomsoever Allah Ta'ala wills, He'll forgive. Other than shirk. So Hazrat Washi sent a message again to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam that in this ayat there's a condition that لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ, that whomsoever Allah Ta'ala wills, He will forgive. So what do I know that my kufr, my shirk and all things that I committed, Allah Ta'ala will forgive, because if he does not will, then what's going to happen? Look at his intelligence and look at his understanding of the ayat. That's when this ayat came, that now informed them. Inna Allah yaghfiru dhunuba jami'a. Whatever that sin is, whatever is that sin that the person has committed, whether it is kufr, whether it is shirk, whatever it may be, as long as you make tawbah from all that and you bring iman, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will forgive all. So then he accepted Islam. Then on one occasion, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam asked him that, how did you martyr my uncle? So because it was Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's hukam, therefore he related the incident. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, the only thing he told him, he says that, if it is possible for you, then don't sit in front of me. Don't come in front of me. Sit behind or somewhere else. Now that was not because Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam could not make that sabr. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was a rock of patience. But he says, when you're going to sit, I will think of my uncle. So it showed that if the, on the heart of the Nabi of the time, or the awliya of the time, the pious and the righteous of the time, if there is some kind of pain that is caused by us, then it is harmful for that individual's progress. It was not going to affect Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, but it affects the progress, the spiritual progress, the closeness of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and everything else. Because if the Nabi's heart is affected, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is giving bayan, is giving khutbah, and then he sees Hazrat Wahshi in front, then obviously it'll go to, his mind will go on to that martyrdom and the sight that was there before him. But it is also said that that was again a rahmat for the ummah. It was not Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam who could not tolerate, but it was a rahmat for the ummah, that in the ummah sometimes there are people with whom we have some kind of problem, some kind of dispute, some kind of argument, or some kind of bad deal or bad relationship. And yet at one time the person may have been in good terms, he may have been a friend, or the person could have been the working for the person, or he could have been close in relationship, whatever it must have been. But now because of that deal, or because of that dispute, or because of that argument, now the desire is no more there to retain and that same kind of relationship that was there in the past. So Islam being a beautiful religion and perfect in every sense of the word, and taking into consideration the weaknesses of man, so now the person is not obliged, is not forced. And this is where we sometimes misunderstand. Now he's not forced that you must keep again the same kind of relationship that you had in the past. If the person said, make me maaf, I'm sorry, or something like that, and the person makes him maaf, he will be rewarded for it. But now there is not a need there, or there is not an obligation that the person has to maintain the very same kind of relationship that existed in the past, such close friendship or close relation. How easy Islam made it. How simple. The only thing is, don't make ghibat, don't backbite about the person. If you meet the person, make salam. Don't purposely harbor ill feelings, jealousy and malice in the heart. Make dua for the person. And if you have a heart, then give some gift to the person. Finish, that much is sufficient. Thereafter, if you cannot maintain that same kind of muhabbat in the heart, then the person is not under any obligation. How beautiful Islamic teachings are. So that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam telling Hazrat Wahshi that if possible, don't come in front of me, it was for the ummah. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, whatever he was doing, because he was rahmatul lil alameen, mercy unto the worlds, then look at his rahmat, how extended it was, how extensive it was. Nothing but rahmat. Then my ummah must not suffer. They mustn't suffer in this world, they mustn't suffer in the graves, and they mustn't suffer in the akhirat. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam will never become pleased until every ummah he goes into Jannat. وَلَسَوْفَ يُعْطِيكَ رَبُّكَ فَتَرْضَى. So there it is said, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam will never become pleased until every ummah goes into Jannah. So all these verses give us a lot of hope. But that hope has to be balanced with khawf and fear. There must be khawf and fear also of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's azab and punishment. We must not think that now we can live a life of negligence, ghaflat, indifference, go wherever we want, eat whatever we wish to, drink whatever we wish to, dance, sing, be in the nightclubs and discos and cinemas and do every kind of thing and say, no, but I'm a Muslim, very good Muslim, because I make my namaz. Now, that is making a mockery of Islam. There's a new kind of Islam now that you can do everything as long as you make namaz. So I'm a very religious person, very pious person. As long as I make namaz. Person says, I run the disco, or I run the casino, or I have a brothel, I do everything, but I'm a pious Muslim because I also make namaz. That kind of piety is unheard of. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala give us the tawfiq to turn towards Him, to give up our evil habits, to make use of these opportunities that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gives us to make tawbah, istighfar, to sincerely believe that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is very, very merciful, very forgiving. And He wants us to return. He does not want us to hurt ourselves. Allah Ta'ala does not want us to hurt ourselves. It gives Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala no happiness or satisfaction to see His creation hurt. Whatever is happening in the world, all the crashes and smashes and bashes and everything else that's taking place, and all the earthquakes and the tremors and the tsunamis and the gale force winds and everything, we must look at ourselves. Look at mankind in general throughout the world. What percentage is there that is really obedient to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, or has made use of these ayat in which great hope is given? After repeatedly saying, come back, come back, come back, the person says, I'm not prepared to come back. Until I shake up, I won't come back. Na'uzubillah. That's what he's trying to say. Late night, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is, after 2/3 of the night, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala Himself is saying, is there any person seeking forgiveness, I may forgive him. Is there any person wanting risk and sustenance, I may give him risk and sustenance. Is there any person wanting this or wanting that, I will give it to him. Now if the king of the time has to announce, is there anybody wanting anything, come, come, come. And the person says, well, you can keep announcing, I'm going to be fast asleep. So we are not making use of the opportunity. So many opportunities Allah Ta'ala gives us of making tawbah and returning towards Him. When we see the disobedience in our homes, when we see the rejection by our children, when we see the arguments and fights and quarrels with our families and with the wives and with the husbands, and all the other kinds of problems, then what are all these things there for? So that we may make use of these ayat and return to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Place our heads on the ground and beg of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Raise our hands above. Cry it out from the heart. Make a'tiraf of qusur. Admit our weaknesses, our shortcomings. Don't blame shaitan all the time. ہنسی آتی ہے مجھے حضرت انسان پر گناہ کرتا ہے خود لعنت بھیجتا ہے شیطان پر. شیطان says, I feel like laughing at all these human beings. They commit all the sins and they blame شیطان. شیطان, what do? I just whisper, that's all. I don't force them into their dens. I just whisper into their hearts and they go there. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala guide us. Give us that ma'rifat, that yaqeen, that muhabbat, which will bring sukoon in our lives, and not only in our lives, but the lives of the people in our homes and in the society. As I mentioned last week also, that at present it is nothing but anger, anger and anger. Everybody is angry. There's just no question of talking in a decent way with wives, with the family, with the children, or the wives with the husbands. Every day nothing but divorce, divorce, divorce. Little bit of anger, divorce, divorce, divorce. That's. And then they feel ashamed. Then they feel ashamed. How are we going to face the society? So then either they try to make the three talaqs into one, or they just live as husband and wife. And that makes things even worse. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كله مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا ala habibika khairil khalqi kullihim. Ya Rabbi salli wa sallim daiman abadan ala habibika khairil khalqi kullihim. My beloved Allah, my Rahim Allah, Kareem Allah, you gave us rahmatul lil alameen Nabi. How much he suffered, how much my beloved Allah he sacrificed, how much he witnessed with his eyes of the suffering of his companions, the shahadat of his beloved uncle. Ya Rabbi Kareem, stoned in Taif, stoned in Uhud, but his concern was ummati, ummati, ummati. We have shown no appreciation for my beloved Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's tears. We haven't valued Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's sacrifices. We haven't even considered that just one drop of the blood of Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wasallam is more precious and valuable than the heavens and the earth and everything in between. How much of that blood was spilled in Taif, in Uhud, in other. That beautiful Pak, Mubarak body of my beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, intestines of animals put on there. Ya Rabbi Kareem, he was rahmatul lil alameen. He has informed us that you dearly love forgiveness of the sins of the sinners when they turn towards you. We are turning towards you, my beloved Allah. We are acknowledging every sin of ours. Hum gunegar hai, siyakar hai, mujrim aur khatakar hai. Bande magar tere hai. We are your slaves, my Allah. We may be very sinful slaves, but we are your slaves. And you have addressed, my beloved Allah, sinful ones like us. You have called us your slaves. قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ. Indeed, my beloved Allah, we have transgressed. We have done great injustice to our souls. We have disobeyed you day and night. We have used your great ni'mats and great gifts of sight, hearing, speech, our hands and feet, our wealth, our homes, our cars. How much of it has been used for your disobedience? How many haram places we walked towards? How much of haram sights and haram things that we saw with our eyes? Yet you didn't snatch away our eyes. You did not seize us there and then. You gave us another opportunity to make tawbah. Another opportunity to make tawbah. You blessed us with another opportunity, my beloved Allah, with your kindness, with your fazl and your ihsan. We could not have raised our hands this part of the night if you did not give us this opportunity. Ab to maaf farma. Allah, hum hai tere bande aur tu hai khuda. Har ghadi dene ko tu taiyar hai aur jo na maange usse tu bezaar hai. Forgive our major sins, minor sins, sins that we committed knowingly, unknowingly, the light of day or darkness of nights. Give us the tawfiq to read the Quran Sharif, understand the Quran Sharif, make amal on the Quran Sharif, propagate the Quran Sharif. Forgive our major sins, minor sins, sins that we committed knowingly, unknowingly, in the light of day or darkness of nights. Don't seize us, my beloved Allah. Don't embarrass us. So many husbands, so many wives, so many children, so many neighbors, so many in the ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam are suffering severe kind of embarrassment and shame. Hey Rabbi Kareem, because the sins were exposed. Sins were exposed. Ya Rabbi, we are acknowledging that indeed we are the most sinful ones, but don't expose our sins. Ey Khudai Vandara Ruswa Makun Garvadam Man Sirri Man Paida Makun. Ey Rabbi Kareem, on the day of Qiyamah, don't allow any kind of embarrassment to come upon Nabiya Paak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam because of our sins. Those who are sick and ailing, give them shifa. Those who are weak, give them strength. Those who are in financial difficulties, bless them with plentiful of halal risk and remove their difficulties. Those who have no children, bless them with pious children. Those whose children have gone on to drinks and drugs and vices and evils, bring them back onto Sirat-e-Mustaqim. Those who have gone for umrah, make their umrahs maqbool and mabroor. And those planning to go, Ya Rabbi Kareem, make it easy for them, remove the obstacles. Bless everyone, Ya Allah, with the barakat and the rahmat and the noor of those Mubarak lands. Give us the tawfiq of ittiba of Nabi alayhi salatu wassalam. Ya Rabbi Kareem, bless us with the best of dunya, the best of akhirat. Garche pur khata hai par kahan jaye tera banda, tere dar par tera banda ba ummeed-e karam aaya. Remove the difficulties, hardship, pain and suffering of the ummah around the globe, especially in Palestine, Chechnya, Bosnia, Kashmir, Iraq, Afghanistan, Somalia, Sudan. Ya Rabbi Kareem, throughout the world, wherever the Ummah is suffering, remove the suffering and difficulties. Bless the entire mankind with Iman and with Islam. Those who have become obstinate, they've made up their minds, they will continue with the persecution and torture and tyranny. Then remove them from the surface of the earth like you remove the Aad and the Samud. Bless us with death in Madina Tayyiba. If it is not destined there, wherever it may be, let it be in a state that you are pleased with us. Bless us with the best of dunya, the best of akhirat. Ey Rabbi Kareem, bless us with all the goodness that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam begged for us. Bless the ummah with that goodness. And from all the mischief, corruption and fitnas that he asked for protection, protect us. And the ummah of Nabi Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You are well aware of the good wishes, the good desires, the aspiration, the tamanna that is in the hearts of each and every individual who has raised his or her hand before you this part of the night. With your fazl, with your kindness, with your ihsan, Ey Rabbi Kareem, fulfill their good wishes and desires. And you are well aware of the difficulties, hardship, pain and suffering of every individual. With your fazl and kindness, remove their suffering and hardships. Tamam dini kamo ko qubool farma. Hone wale ijtima ko qubool farma. Masajid, madaris, khanqao ko qubool farma. Bless all workers of deen with ikhlas. Ey Rabbi Kareem, those who have passed away, fill the graves with noor. Ek din hamein bhi jana hai, ek din marna hai, aakhir maut. Ey Rabbi Kareem, fill the graves with noor, bless them with Jannatul Firdaus. Rabbana taqabbal minna, innaka antas samiul alim. Watub alayna, innaka antat tawwabur rahim. وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمد وآله وأصحابه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. next week Monday will be the Ijtima weekend. Lots of brothers will be going and others also should try and go benefit from the gathering, where there will be lots of good pious people and good dini talks. So therefore we will not be having any program next Monday. Alhamdulillah.